American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots fighting for fairness for all, but they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe doesn't fit with freedom at all. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street.
All right, welcome back. Top of the second hour, this Thursday, May 10th, 2018, National Intel Report. Again, Chris Hinckley, guest host, sitting in for John Stadmiller this fine Thursday, May 10th. So the clip I was thinking about, it's Mr. Rate's Advice. That's the title of Movie Clips segment of it. And I think it's fairly tame. I think it's fairly family friendly. But just in case, I don't think there's anything inappropriate. But I just think, you know, this pretty much characterizes sort of where we're headed in this hour. If you're ready, go ahead, please.
Suppose I was looking for a man to make a 2,200-yard Cold War shot. Who's alive that could do that?
Seems I heard about a shot like that being made not too long ago. Said the guy's name was Bob Lee Swagger. Never met the man, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah, they said that, all right.
They also said that artificial sweeteners were safe, and WMDs were in Iraq, and Anna Nicole married for love. Would have been a bad job to take, though.
How come?
Whoever took that shot's probably dead now. That's how a conspiracy works. Them boys on the grassy knoll, they were dead within 3 hours. Buried in the damn desert, unmarked graves out past Terlingua.
You know this for a fact?
Still got the shovel.
Sake of argument, somebody other than him?
There was a guy in Russia. They locked his ass up. Northern
That's
France,
probably enough.
I know
the
rest
is, pertains to the movie. I just think that sort of characterizes, you know, where we're at. Meanwhile, public is led to believe a lie, and there's all kinds of goofy stuff floating around. Let's see. One of those articles, what were they? Well, a couple of them. Let's see. Yeah, Matt Ward's thinkgrowth.org article, May 8th. This is literally, I mean, this gets back to exactly what I was talking about. Covey's point back in 1989, and that seemed weird, and I didn't want to read it. I'm not particularly a Stephen Covey fan. You know, and other things that go along with that discussion. But now, again, look where we've come to. You know, you think of Hayek's Road to Serfdom. It, you know, maybe that old joke about playing the country record backwards and you get your house and your dog and your boat and everything back. Maybe we should read Hayek's Road to Serfdom backwards. Just start a book club and start reading stuff like Hayek's Road to Serfdom backwards. Maybe we can get back to freedom and liberty. But it's pretty clear the course that we have been set on is bad. So Matt Ward's article May 8th over at thinkgrowth.org. Want results? Just tell people what they want to hear. That's literally the headline. But, you know, who am I to tell Matt Ward anything? Angel investor, startup investor. Matt Ward, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. And so is anyone who reads this garbage. Matt, you know, want results? Just tell people what they want to hear. There are two ways to interpret that: outrage and intrigue, spoken in true Machiavellian fashion. The best headlines do both. No, actually, they don't. You know, you're basically, you know, it's clickbait. You're sensationalizing and titillating for effect, so to speak, you know, which is not a good thing to do. That's a not a noble and honorable pursuit by any stretch of the imagination. And then, you know, he goes on, not that I want to give this any more airtime, but, you know, the world is a game of selling, especially in business, spoken like Edward Bernays himself. VCs selling money to founders, founders selling dreams to investors, businesses selling to clients, and on and on and on. Everyone is constantly selling, but most people do this wrong. They think about themselves first and others second. So, you know, again, tell people what they want to hear, just like you said, and, you know, then that answers all your questions. That's, I would argue, what the CIA does through InQtel, for example. And I've mentioned several times that it brags itself the Rudder, the CIA's venture capital front company. Again, another bit of evil that has sort of been legitimized or institutionalized at the very least. It has bragged itself at times as a what I would call a rudder of technological innovation. For every dollar they've bragged that that InQtel invests in companies, it brings along $9 and now $11 at last check in venture capital from the VC community. Well, no wonder, because, you know, guys like Matt Ward want to get paid. And so if the CIA is interested in it, if the NSA is interested in it, yeah, it's probably going to go somewhere, you know? And so who benefits from all of this warmongering and spying? And really graceful, YouTube channel had a great video the other day titled, "Why Does Google Want Your DNA?" I encourage folks to watch that. If we had more time, maybe we'd play it. Anyway, stories like this, what want results? Just tell people what they want to hear. That's ridiculous. And then speaking of the mindless shouting and not listening, there's this Vice article that first appeared in Vice UK and by Tom Usher titled, "I went to a flat earth convention to meet flat earthers like my mom and to find out how and why all these people in attendance got into the conspiracy theory." And so he points to a bunch of stuff throughout the article, and, you know, this thing is debunked. That's, you know, for example, "As I entered, I was offered a gift of fluoride-free toothpaste. This made perfect sense given the location. A popular conspiracy theory," and he links to another Vice article. It's, you know, the logical fallacy of circular reference, basically. An article by Hannah Ewens over at Vice UK, "A deep dive into the conspiracy theory that governments are controlling us with fluoride. Is fluoride in our water the biggest public health cover-up of our times, or just truthers having a rant? Wake up, sheeple." So, you know, pointing to that article, fluoride-free toothpaste, Tom Usher writes, "This made perfect sense given the location. A popular conspiracy theory states that governments across the world have been putting fluoride in our water supply to tranquilize the masses, despite the fact that the only piece of evidence from this theory, which involves both Nazis and communists, has been widely discredited." And pointing to a PolitiFact entry, because that's, you know, not a one-sided, highly politicized source. That's, I mean, sure, that's a very unbiased source. Oh, no, it's not actually, yeah. So, you know, here's a simple question. What I usually try to do on this stuff is sidestep the contrived conflict that's been fomented, the honey pot or the honey trap, if you will, and ask more, I think, thought-provoking questions. You know, when it comes to 9/11, for example, I never want to talk about Building 7. I want to know why we attacked Iraq, and this is rhetorical, obviously, but just to get the wheels turning, hopefully, the juices flowing for some of the unwashed masses. Why did we attack Iraq if 15 of 19 alleged hijackers were Saudi? That's kind of a thought-provoking question, isn't it? And once you can start to raise that issue, then from there, obviously, you can ask, how did they get their visas? And you suddenly find yourself in the very mostly uncharted waters, which is shocking because it shouldn't be, of J. Michael Springman's, what he called CIA visas for terrorist program at the Jeddah Consulate in Saudi Arabia. The way he put it, the CIA forced me to allow terrorists into the U.S. So now what? 15 of 19 alleged hijackers received their visas through a program that the CIA engineered specifically for that purpose. What do you think about that? So in similar fashion, if I talked to Tom Usher, I would say, okay, so fine, conspiracy theory, governments, you know, fluoridating the water supply to tranquilize the masses, as he put it. Now, my question to Tom Usher and folks like him, are you familiar with dental fluorosis? A condition that is an extremely common disorder, even according to the Wikipedia entry, characterized by hypomineralization of tooth enamel caused by ingestion of excessive fluoride. So there's fluoride in all kinds of things. There's fluoride in toothpaste, obviously. The most of the popular toothpastes are fluoridated, obviously. So my question to folks like Tom Usher is, how much is enough? How much is too much? Because even the toothpaste tube says if you swallow it, contact poison control. Problem? Perhaps. So how do you know? Where is the limit? When are you at risk of dental fluorosis, Tom Usher? And if it's poison, maybe you shouldn't put it in your mouth. Anyway, it's interesting. So, you know, stuff like this, you just wonder. This stuff is everywhere. And one of the latest entries is this article by Kyle Chayka over at the New Republic, published yesterday, How Tech is Remaking Fashion in Its Image. And subtitled, The Ethos of Silicon Valley Scalability, Homogeneity, is that it? And a subtle exclusivity has crept into the clothes people wear. And, you know, so my first thought on that was, you mean fascists leveraging capitalism while espousing communism? Well, then, I guess it turns out Hillary Clinton was really a trendsetter, wasn't she? You know, wearing the communist smock, looking like Chairman Mao. I mean, she tries to look more like Kim Jong-un than anybody that we see in mainstream media coverage, doesn't she? She's in that smock-looking thing. So, you know, that's interesting. And just this, you know, cyclical wave after cyclical wave. Is it art imitating life? Is it life imitating art? Is it, you know, a reinforcement of the Bernaysian propaganda? So on and so on. Anyway, we should play the SNL clip. If you want to play that, we should play the that deal. Yeah, you wanna play that? Reminds me of this, the Levi's Wokes thing. Remember that?
My jeans tell me I'm a man.
My jeans tell me I'm a woman.
They tell me I'm relaxed.
That I'm skinny.
A child.
Yo, you don't know me, jeans.
I'm not a style.
I'm not a size.
That's not me.
I am not a child.
I'm me.
I'm unique.
I'm woke.
Woke.
I'm woke.
So, why aren't my jeans?
Now they are. Introducing Levi Wokes. Sizeless, style neutral, gender non-conforming denim for a generation that defies labels. Levi's heard that if you're not woke, it's bad. So we made these.
Defining someone by their style? That's offensive.
That's why Levi Wokes have no style.
What's my size? Why don't you try asking me about my accomplishments?
My Wokes are size me.
They fit everybody.
Because they fit nobody.
So what colors do they come in?
Colors? I'm triggered.
This color. Can you label this color?
That is the color Greb.
They not brown, but they not not brown.
It's a handful of colors, none of which are dominant.
Just like our country.
Oh, wait.
Whoa.
Let's talk pockets.
Pockets sold separately.
Yo, who says I have hands?
You getting this yet? The jeans are woke.
Whoa!
Do they come in men's and women's?
Nah.
Do they come in person?
What do you think?
That's why Woke's got Unifly.
180 degrees of gender nonconformity.
My jeans let me decide how I go to the bathroom. Do yours. What don't you get? They woke.
Woke.
Get woke.
We're woke.
Yo, hold up. Are my Wokes made in some factory by Indonesian kids?
Nah, they're made right here in the USA.
By white kids.
Woke up with Levi Wokes.
Woke.
Levi Wokes. Available exclusively at Ross.
It's pretty ridiculous, but I mean, consider where we are. You know, there was, it's already been 2 years since the, that was even before the 2016 presidential elections, when Eaton Cohen tweeted that I never expected Idiocracy to become a documentary. And so, you know, we laugh about this now, but remember, it was a few years ago. I mean, oh man, I remember 10 years ago, you know, when stories like lady drops off books at school in milk crate with a paper bag over it, and someone calls Homeland Security and the bomb squad, literally. And we were saying how ridiculous that is. And now that's been normalized. But, you know, back then, Alan Watt was talking about how, you know, the Brazil sort of storyline. Remember Brazil, what's his name? You know, Monty Python guy. Anyway, Brazil back in 1985, starring De Niro. And, you know, you got black guys, you know, black suited guys with masks and stuff rappelling out of the ceiling and shooting people and stuff in restaurants and things. And that's just normal. And now, you know, I mean, I was sort of quipping earlier, I think it was this week on Road Warrior Radio about, you know, we heard about the Georgia sniper deal and this guy apparently idolized the Parkland shooter. And I asked which one, because you have these varying accounts. Was it Nicholas Cruz, who was apprehended in his Stoneman Douglas polo shirt, that crimson colored polo shirt with the little eagle and the on the shoulder, on the sleeve, and the emblem on the chest? Or was it the person with the hoodie Or was it the person with the ball cap and the glasses? Or was it, as teacher Stacy LaPelle put it, why are the police here? Because I looked down the hall 20 feet and I saw the shooter dressed all in black, you know. What did she say? Basically tactical gear, including body armor and a helmet and a face mask. So in, what was it, 4 minutes? No, it was 7 minutes, I want to say. Whatever it was, we're led to believe that Nicholas Cruz executed some Jason Bourne-style operation, showed up at just the right moment, and, you know, at one point apparently was dressed like Robert De Niro in Brazil, which is, the point is, back then it was laughable, even though there were things that had gone on, obviously, speaking of JFK and Bobby Kennedy and Martin Luther King, that should cause us to stop until we get all of this sorted out. And really, we should shut the CIA and the FBI down, among others, the Federal Reserve, Social Security Administration. What would we do without all those benefits? Well, if you weren't giving it all away, you wouldn't have to worry about those benefits, would you? How about you keep 10 and not have to have them give you one or two or three back? You know, that's kind of the operative concept. Anyway, that used to be bizarre. Now it's just been normalized, and it's, you know, good guys and bad guys. But where is the line there? Crazy stuff. So, I also want to throw out one other thing. Remember Jordan Peterson? Speaking of all of this and the mindless shouting, there was, you know, Jordan Peterson's appearance on Real Time with Bill Maher. That was interesting. As part of a collection there, I want to play a little clip if we can. This one's titled Bill Cosby Said What? Bill Cosby Said What? Now, remember, Bill Cosby is a man whose career, his entire career, I mean, back in the 60s, he was doing stand-up, clean stuff, in a time when that was becoming sort of passe. And his entire career was built on, and it's a persona, his persona, and I mean persona when I say that. But, you know, there's some interesting things along the way, so I'm not, this is not, you know, to condone bad things or anything like that, but we should pause, and we should, you know, not see people convicted in the court of public opinion, if you know what I mean. So from the channel Think Club, the first rule of Think Club is we don't talk about Think Club. The video, Bill Cosby Said What? Go ahead, please.
Please, once again, thank Dr. Bill Cosby for being here with us and sharing with us today.
Ladies and gentlemen, if I may, please understand this before I leave. You saw Jesse's tears talking about Fisk. Now, those tears, ladies and gentlemen, every person here, we all are shedding them now. We all are. And even the people who misunderstand what I'm going after and those who are disgruntled, they have those tears also because they know what we all know. We've got to do something. We've got to embrace our growing children. This is our future. And ladies and gentlemen, I think what's important is you have this gentleman and these wonderful people around. It's time for us to make a pledge. It's time for us to stand and say your name. I'm not asking you to do it now, but we've got to say it to make it hit all the way up to those clouds. Because the time is now. We don't have time to argue about who's right and who's wrong. We've got too many children in prison. We've got too many young girls who don't know how to parent, turning themselves into parents. Ladies and gentlemen, our little 8-year-old boys, 9-year-old boys having erections and only acting out that which they see and hear on some CD. They're acting that out. And they don't know the damage that they're doing when they rape some new little girl, 9 years old, and what they've done to her whole life. And it's time to stop it. I couldn't care less about what white people think about me at this time. And I say that because if they want to take it and say things against my people, let them talk. What difference? What are they saying that's different from what their grandfather said? And what are they doing and trying to do to us that their grandfathers didn't try to do to us? But what's different is what we're doing to ourselves. And the answer is... When I saw the prize fight manager, and he said to the boy who was losing, David, listen to me. It's not what he's doing to you, it's what you're not doing. Because your strength and your empowerment, the more you invest in that child, the more you're not going to let some CD tell your child how to curse and how to say the word nigger. This is an accepted word. You're so hip with nigger, but you can't even spell it. Understand, your children have to know where you came from. And they have to know about those people hanging and how, when they did hang them on a Sunday, the theme song was Amazing Grace. That's what they sang when the bodies were hanging. Your children don't know that. Your grandchildren don't know it. And they don't know Henry Hampton's Eyes on the Prize. They've got to know it. You've got to teach. And that's your job. And the pledge is we're going to turn that mirror around and see ourselves in those areas. And I don't want to argue about whether, well, it's not just the poor. Everybody guilty. You raise your right hand and become a parent. And we have parent power. I'm out of here.
Black History Month, you find...
ridiculous.
Why?
You're going to relegate my history to a month?
Oh, come on.
What do you do with yours? Which month is White History Month? Come on. Tell me.
I'm Jewish.
Okay. Which month is Jewish History Month?
There isn't one.
Oh. Why not?
Yeah.
You want one?
No.
I don't either. I don't want a Black History Month. Black history is American history.
How are we going to get rid of racism?
Stop talking about it. I'm going to stop calling you a white man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you to stop calling me a black man. I know you as Mike Wallace. You know me as Morgan Freeman.
Liberals, especially intellectuals, are preoccupied with politically correct speech that they're not.
I see.
And yet.
No, they're too preoccupied with identity politics by a large margin. And they tend to categorize everyone by their ethnicity and their sex and their gender. And I think all that does is turn people into tribal actors and that the end result of that is catastrophe.
But weren't you...
Again, too much division, lots and lots of division, and not enough unity. We're being balkanized. So these are some interesting and I would say provocative installments that you don't usually hear. You know, over the weekend on Saturday, the 200th anniversary of Karl Marx's birthday, no less, in Marxist fashion, SNL debuted Donald Glover, a.k.a. Childish Gambino's This Is America. And, you know, to me it seems like a targeted effort to further balkanize these very people and weaponize them against themselves. But, you know, I mentioned some installments. We played the clip there, Bill Cosby, Morgan Freeman. We'll talk more. Stick around. More after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour. Today's National Intel Report. Again, guest host Chris Hinckley sitting in for John Stadmiller, regular host of Road Warrior Radio here on Republic Broadcasting Network. So like I said, Bill Cosby built a persona over the course of a lifetime on clean content, which is, provocative. So you have a lifetime of work versus, a Me Too movement that seems largely contrived and convenient. What happened to Bill Cosby's son, by the way? That's a weird story, isn't it? And like I said earlier, what did Prince say, particularly about Dick Gregory on Tavis Smiley? What did Dick Gregory say about manganese and stuff falling out of the sky on C-SPAN, by the way? What did Dick Gregory say about Michael Jackson? Michael Jackson, a friend of mine for many years, said, "They're trying to kill me. Which reminds me of what Dave Chappelle said when he came back, you know, on the Actor's Studio with James Lipton. Why did Dave Chappelle take off? What did he say about Martin Lawrence? There ain't no weak people talking to you. These are strong people. Maybe the what did he say? The environment's a little sick, something like that. What did Dick Gregory say about Michael Jackson? What did Michael Jackson say about Tommy Mottola? What did Michael Jackson say about Tommy Mottola? And what did Mariah Carey say about Tommy Mottola, for that matter? And where did Michael Jackson's multi-billion-dollar musical library end up? Who or what entity acquired Michael Jackson's musical library for a paltry sum? Some might argue, including myself. So, you know, we have some interesting lessons throughout history. We've lost folks like Martin Luther King and, you know, like I said earlier, I mean, Bobby Kennedy's eulogy in Indianapolis was, you know, the, and you know, again, so, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. gives his Beyond Vietnam speech April 4, 1967. And we're supposed to believe that 1 year later to the day he's assassinated, and it's just some, oh, no, wait, it was proven. You know, read William Pepper if you're not familiar. Listen to William Pepper. Listen to James Corbett's interview of William Pepper, actually. And the proof. I mean, William Pepper goes into great detail, obviously. It is a government plot. It was a government conspiracy, literally, to assassinate King. That was proven in court. You know, a man assassinated a year after the speech, I believe, that got him killed, Beyond Vietnam, A Time to Break Silence. A time comes when silence is betrayal. Speaking of that kind of stuff, just real quick, and we'll go to the phones. That's unbelievable. You know, meanwhile, folks like Gina Haspel get nominated to run the CIA instead of, I mean, she should be wearing orange jammies. Orange is the new CIA. I was going to mention I'll do it. You know, so we played those clips. You know, in this the SNL clip we played, Levi's Wokes YouTube video. That's really kind of sad testament of where we are. Again, you know, the voices of history. Listen to this one. Who wrote these words? I have a foreboding of an America in my children's and grandchildren's time, when the United States is a service and information economy, when nearly all the manufacturing industries have slipped away to other countries, when awesome technological powers are in the hands of a very few, and no one representing the public interest can even grasp the issues. When the people have lost the ability to set their own agendas and knowledgeably question those in authority, when clutching their crystals and nervously consulting our horoscopes, our critical faculties in decline, unable to distinguish between what feels good and what's true, we slide almost without noticing back into superstition and darkness. Which is an interesting mental picture, considering this person, the title of his book. Continuing, the dumbing down of America is most evident in the slow decay of substantive content in the enormously influential media. The 30-second soundbites, now down to 10 seconds or less, lowest common denominator programming, credulous presentations on pseudoscience and superstition, but especially a kind of celebration of ignorance. To me, that's one of the most operative concepts in the book and the excerpt. As I write, the author wrote, the number one video cassette rental in America, which dates the book, obviously, is the movie Dumb and Dumber. Beavis and Butthead remain popular and influential with young TV viewers. the plain lesson is that study and learning, not just of science, but of anything, are avoidable, even undesirable. We've arranged a global civilization in which most crucial elements, transportation, communications, and all other industries, agriculture, medicine, education, entertainment, protecting the environment, and even key democratic institution of voting profoundly depend on science and technology. We have also arranged things so that almost no one understands science and technology. That's okay. Google's here to help. This is a fascinating prescription for disaster, the author writes. We might get away with it for a while, but sooner or later, this combustible mixture of ignorance and power is going to blow up in our faces. That was Carl Sagan back in 1996 in his book, The Demon-Haunted World, Science is a Candle in the Dark. And as a further ominous and foreboding harbinger where I was headed, he also mentioned one of the saddest lessons in history is this: if we've been bamboozled long enough, we tend to reject any evidence of the bamboozle. We're no longer interested in finding out the truth. And I say, post-truth, anyone? Give me a compelling argument rather than the facts. The bamboozle has captured us, Sagan wrote. It's simply too painful to acknowledge, even to ourselves, that we've been taken. Once you give a charlatan power over you, you almost never get it back. Incidentally, speaking of bamboozles, Philip Marshall's book and, you know, assassinations 1 year after the fact, Philip Marshall's book, The Big Bamboozle, 9/11 and the War on Terror, was published on February 2nd, 2012. And exactly 1 year to the day later, he and his children were found dead in an alleged murder-suicide. Circling back to Sagan's book quickly, The Demon-Haunted World, as a point of interest and further clarification, on page 26, Sagan explained the title of his book. From the excerpt, A Candle in the Dark is the title of a courageous, largely biblically based book by Thomas Addy, published in London in 1656, attacking the witch hunts then in progress as a scam to delude the people. So, you know, we hear from Donald Trump that Russiagate and the Mueller investigation are witch hunts. Well, I think Me Too and many other things. Iran, Syria, Libya was a witch hunt. Iraq was a witch hunt. Afghanistan is a witch hunt. And on the list could go. Anyway, hopefully, you know, that is meaningful to some folks. So, the phones. Where are we at on the phones, Mr. Borda? Okay, Harley in Indiana, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on your sodium fluoride for toothpaste.
Right on.
Out of the Random House Dictionary of the English Language from 1967, the unabridged edition, it states, used cheaply in fluoridation of water as an insecticide and as a rodenticide. Crystalline, water-soluble, poisonous solid. That's what it is.
Yeah.
What it does is, as you say, it causes mottling of the teeth. It also makes the teeth brittle so they crack and break.
Yep.
You see people with this.
People will try to tell you, no, we don't have that problem in America today. Really? You see people with those white spots on their teeth, that's evidence of dental fluorosis.
Yes, it is. And the other thing, you know, with the rodent side, I was in FFA in high school in the, you know, middle 60s, and we were taught sodium fluoride was used in rat poison because it thins the blood and causes the rats to bleed to death.
Right.
Internally.
Right,
so that's
exactly.
That's what it does to people.
And, exactly.
And so people know it, and, you know, if they have never noticed it, in 1980, my youngest son was prescribed vitamins right after birth. And I couldn't understand why the label on the vitamin bottle that I had to get a prescription for was covered. What was in the vitamin bottle that they covered it? I carefully peeled the label off, and what was in the vitamin for my newborn baby was sodium fluoride.
Yeah.
So if you got babies out there and they're prescribing a vitamin for them, and you can't, you know, you need to look and see what's in that vitamin because they have been poisoning our children from birth.
Well, you know, and there's a long history of this. And so, you know, like I said, I usually set that stuff aside as a way to hopefully open up dialogue, because it's interesting how pervasive the I guess, mind control, if you want to call it that, is in these conversations, because it's a fact of history. You go back and look what Francis Freire was doing, chief scientist for Alcoa, who commissioned Gerald Cox at the Mellon Institute to conduct research, which reminds me of Dick Cheney as defense secretary asking Halliburton to write a report on defense contractors in the Middle East, and then, you know, somehow magically Halliburton is, you know, operating in the Middle East before you know it. But, you know, they cooked up these specious reports like they always do. Bad guys have their people write reports that tell them what they want to hear so that they can pass those off in technocratic fashion to the American public. And, you know, basically trying to downplay the fact that we're using waste product to poison people, basically, in the production of aluminum. What can we do with all this crap? I know. We'll give it to people. And for those who don't believe this could actually happen, you know, the W.R. Grace, the mining company, has come. I was born in Libby, Montana, where Grace operated for decades and decades. And this material, vermiculite is what it's called, they used it as to insulate boxcars to ship metal, molten metal in particular. And so this vermiculite that would expand, it turns out it's a carcinogen, but they were the big controversy with the W.R. Grace case was that they knew, they had done reports, there were internal memos circulated as late as I think the 90s that Grace higher-ups, executives, knew that this stuff was a carcinogen, and yet they let the underlings conduct practices that were unsafe. And at one point in the early 20th century, this stuff that is a carcinogen, was a known carcinogen even at the time, was in it was included in food. Like they would put it in recipes and things. You know, we should just put this.
It seems to me like that's what they use around the plants that you buy at the store, that white potted stuff that you buy plants to put in your garden, that it's vermiculite.
Yeah, yeah.
I could be wrong, but
it looks like it. I think they used to, for sure. They did put it in everything. I mean, there were cookie recipes that had vermiculite in it, which is, I mean, and you know, it wasn't a surprise that it was a carcinogen. So
I never heard about the vermiculite, but I will go ahead and go, so, because I'm sure you probably got some other callers, so they can talk and say what they want. Well, I thank you, and you're always interesting, of course.
So, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. And I appreciate the call and the point of clarification. Man, what would happen if we'd all get off the... It's interesting, you know, one of the things that I think we will cover going forward, you know, there's technology, the technocratic aspect of that, the way that technology is being used, again, speaking of the big bamboozle, you know, the technology circles, it's tech conference time. And so, you know, you got the Facebook F8 conference, I call it FATE, Google's I.O., Microsoft's deal, everybody's doing a tech conference right now, and the technology sector is notorious for, you know, snake oil sales, I would say. It's the end-all, be-all. It will answer all the questions. So, where are we at on the phones, Mr. Bordop? Okay, back to the phones. Jeff in Georgia, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Chris, it's an honor to talk to you. You know, I was turned on to RBN back when I heard Michael Collins Piper on Miss Spingola's years ago. Michael Collins Piper was a hero to me.
Yeah, speaking of suspicious deaths.
You know, he wrote a bunch of books, and he proved beyond reasonable doubt that the Jewish cartel was central to the Kennedy assassination. Yesterday, you had Ken O'Keefe on, and Ken's been on there several times. Ken, to me, is like a Collins Piper, but he's an activist, and people need to pray for him because he sticks his neck on the line. He gets right out there in the public, and I'm afraid the big powers will try to hurt him. But Chris, you know, we live in different parts of the country. You know, I'm probably older than you. I'm 57. I've lived in California. I've been in Texas a lot, Florida and places. The country's at a crossroads. And, you know, it was only a few years ago when I realized through a guy named Bill Still, he wrote The Money Master. He's a very Christian man. And he had some other videos that the banking system was so fraudulent. I did not know that. It's an absolute fraud, and I've challenged some of the folks that the Michael Riveros and the John Stabmillers. If it's fraudulent, we should be able to cancel it legitimately, and I would ask for reparations for the middle class. But I want to bounce this off of you because I bounced it off them. I think there's three things. See, within 10 years, the Democratic Party will run this country completely because Texas, Florida, Georgia, these states will flip permanently. I wouldn't mind that it was Democrat, but the Democrat is actually just as much controlled by the Jewish banking puppet masters as much as the Republicans, and I think we'll have more of a socialistic type government. I am for canceling the debt. I am for massive reform in the welfare system where people will have dignity. You'll have able-bodied employment, and you will flip billions, hundreds of billions of dollars that go for nothing, and people will get something. They will learn skills, and immigration will dry up because we can employ tens of millions of more people in many sectors in our economy. Manufacturing, probably another 10 million jobs. A bigger police force until we get the crime in check. Definitely we need more people in health. There's people without any insurance that make pretty good money. The third thing I would do is we have to drastically cut our defense. And I told them at least $500 billion a year to nothing. Because we could sit down at the table with Russia and China and say we can coexist, and we'll get out of the Middle East. But this is $1.5 trillion, maybe $2 trillion a year we could flip. We could absolutely flip like a light going off and on from not benefiting the American people to benefiting the American people. We are down to 4% of free speech. You know, free speech to me is the greatest God-given right we have in the universe. If a man feels like it's not right, or if he feels like he sees it's the color purple, the color orange, he has a right to say that. Europe has kind of shut down a lot of free speech. Canada shut it down. This country, you know, that ought to be our mantra, free speech. Okay? But I want your thoughts. You know, we need to focus because time is short, and we need to flip this whole system around. We have to have a revolution. Every time I tell Michael Rivera that, I'm nonviolent. When I say revolution, I'm thinking in terms of King. I was influenced by those people. You mentioned Dick Gregory. He was a good man, but, you know, Dick Gregory used to say things back in the early 70s. I'm a little older than you. When we were going to the moon, he would sit down there in Florida and he'd be on TV and say, we should be using that money to feed the poor. Mm-hmm. We should have employed the poor, but going to the moon was a great ideal, I think. It showed what human beings are capable of, and it took our focus away from, you know, war and other things.
Yeah.
I'd like to get your thoughts on the three big things, and there's a whole list of things that I would do. You know, Michael Collins Piper wrote a book, What I Would Do on the First Day of Office. So did Huey Long.
You know, it's funny you say that, because when you were talking about social programs, I was actually thinking of Huey Long. You know, America first, America first, Huey Long.
Yeah. And, I would, do many other things. Like dual citizenship would end.
Yeah.
Round down the line. But, immigration, I call on these other shows, and I say that, the United States is going to fall as a world power. I mean, we're 40% third world, and that will grow.
Yeah.
We've got to deal with
And that's not by accident. Obviously, the National Intelligence Council has been publishing its report over the past few decades, titled "Global Trends," the Global Trends report, which has been talking about. And I remember doing broadcasts years ago, and through the Obama administration, guys like Geithner talking about parity, and Brzezinski writing about stuff like that, and basically the notion that bad guys have advanced, that and it's the same sort of compartmentalization. As nations, we can't be allowed to be self-sufficient, just like people, just like households, just like towns. Everyone has to be compartmentalized. Places have to make things, and stuff has to be made in one place, assembled somewhere else, all that kind of nonsense. And in an effort to do that, nations like America have to be brought down, and nations like India and China have to be brought up, and there's a parity that they're shooting for, somewhere around second world status. And we're feeling that in America right now.
Chris, we could have a 10-year program where just about everything is made in this country.
What are the three things again? That you were saying?
Three things we have to do. One is cancel the debt. That's hundreds of billions of dollars. But you have to try to save the middle class retirement. Let them transfer their money in the short term to U.S. bonds. And then the government has to nationalize the printing of money and the controlling the quantity. That's the key. If you control the quantity, your money don't have to be backed with anything. In fact, the argument could be made, if it's backed by gold or silver, the puppet masters will manipulate that.
Yeah,
but
it's less.
Remember, in the 30s, we had the Great Depression, and our money was backed by gold. So just because your money's backed by a precious commodity, there's no guaranteed output. The greatest money system this country ever had, of course, the dollar used to be great, there's no question. But in the 1750s and 40s in Pennsylvania, they had fiat money.
Yeah,
we're
out of time, unfortunately. I wish that we had more time to speak to that. I'll have to maybe go back in the archives and listen to what the points are. But yeah, I thought of Huey Long. I think of Angus Deaton's, the article about Angus Deaton's remarks back in December of 2016, the Business Insider article, and some other stuff. And defense spending is not, there's nothing defensive about it, but that'll do it for today's National Intel Report. I appreciate the call, and I'll have to maybe revisit some of those three things. Anyway, I hope it was informative. As I always say, it's an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. The
because you can handle the truth.